go. Ready, go. Welcome to Rougher on the Hedges. Like that?
Yeah, just doing it. Let's go.
Yeah. Welcome to Rougher on the Hedges. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
And today we're talking about pesticides.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, we did the Benny, or we're doing Benny. Well, spoiler alert, everybody. Not next week, but the week after our episode was going to be on beneficial insects. So yeah. I guess we start with this to tell you this side of it.
Yeah. I mean, also it's that time of year where people are putting stuff outside.
Yeah. People need to know.
It's kind of good to go over pesticides, what they are, what they can do to the world.
All the pollinators they kill.
Do a little deep dive on them so people are aware of all the issues surrounding them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you can make an informed choice on if you're going to use them or not.
Right.
The more you know.
Do, 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 do. So have you used pesticides?
I definitely have. Yeah. Definitely have killed some spider mites that way.
I definitely use them from time to time.
Yeah.
Same for here. Certain pests.
I definitely don't have that. It's not in my routine anymore. Do either of you still?
I try not to. Mm-hmm. But I've talked about it before where I've got that root mealy problem. So I've been using systemics, but that's what I'm considering an informed decision because I kind of feel I know what I'm doing with it and how to.
Yeah. And it seems like that pest is kind of the outlier of something you just have to do it.
I did learn that Stradiolaelips are good for the root mealies, but only in like their larval form. So it takes a while and it's a lot.
Yeah.
So there is a beneficial way to do it. Learned that from Jane Perrone. Thank you for that. But I didn't know it at the time when I made my decision, so I did the best I could with what I had.
Right. How about you, Kaylin? Do you still use?
Do I still use? I haven't in a long time. Do I still own all the stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it still stocked and ready to go if I do decide to use it? Yeah.
Yeah. I still have a bottle of dead bug brew, the Captain Jack's. I used to have, I went out and got, this is back when I was like brand new with the plants. Like a hardcore like garden pesticide, and I was like, let's use that inside the house.
Oh, God. Oh boy.
I mean, honestly, same. I did that at the beginning of my hobby too, so I get it.
Yeah.
I did not do that at the beginning of my hobby.
Yeah, with how like at the beginning of the hobby when I got into it, that was like the common thing. Oh, you have a pest? Oh, just get a pesticide. Beneficial bugs didn't, like, they existed back then, but they weren't a thing. They were like something for like mass production situations.
Yeah, I definitely didn't know about like the group or anything yet. So I definitely just went to Walmart, I think, and just read labels and saw this killed spider mites. I'm like, sick. So I took that home and started spraying stuff down.
I remember you messaged me about like the warning on the label or something. Yeah. We had a conversation about it and I was like, maybe you shouldn't use that. But you were like, it worked.
It did, sure did.
Oh boy.
Who knows how many years I took off my life. So maybe that's where we should start first is safety when we're doing this.
When using a new pesticide, I always recommend looking up what is called the MSDS or the Manufacturer Safety Data Sheet. On there will be a section on protection and PPE, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. It'll tell you, do you need a respirator? Do you need to be wearing coveralls? Like, it'll tell you what you need to do so you don't get, or so you can limit your exposure to this, whatever you're using, because it is straight up poison.
Yeah.
Spoiler, it's pretty much use a respirator, do it in a well-ventilated area, and don't wash the water down the sink.
Yep.
Pretty much. And some of them are skin absorbed, so you should wear coverings.
Yep. A good chunk of them are going to be wear gloves, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one thing that I'm neglectful. I skip on because I like to be able to touch the things with my hands instead of gloves. And I know I should.
Yeah.
I know I should go get a pair of those little, like the dishwashing gloves on TV, the green ones.
My brain went too. Because I grew up around farmers and vets. I was thinking of like the big old, like,
gonna put the shoulder length arm ones for sticking your hand inside a
cow's butt. Yeah.
I wasn't going to say it. And you did.
Yes. Get some
Like the elbow length dishwashing gloves. Yeah. That's what my dad uses when he does chemicals on the farm.
Sure.
So I always think of those when I think of pesticides, whatever.
Yeah. So you definitely want to think about yourself as far as respirator, gloves.
Well-ventilated area.
Outside, if you can. Really?
Well, because where you're spraying it, it's going to run off the plant and touch the ground. And
again, look into what you're using. Yeah. There is some stuff where like, it's not the best, but it breaks down so quickly. There's no harm necessarily.
To do it outside?
Yeah.
Okay. But what I was going to say is, yes, for sure, think of yourself in these situations, but also if you have animals, because cats, dogs, birds, they're all much smaller than us. So what's poisonous to us is going to be 10 times poisonous to them. So if you're doing this inside and you've got animals as well, definitely keep them in mind.
Especially birds. They are super sensitive. Like, I do not use any chemicals here.
So that's PPE. And this is for most, if not all, pesticides. There are definitely going to be ones that are stronger, more harsh than others. So always read the label, friends.
And make sure you're using the right pesticide for the pest you're trying to kill.
Yeah. And then this is, you know, safety goes for both natural and like full blown chemical pesticides. Cause like neem oil, like there's such a thing as neem poisoning. So you don't want to.
Yeah. Especially inhaling that. That's not good.
Mm-hmm. What are, if we wanting to go more of the quote unquote organic route, what are some like neem oil?
There's a one thing coming up that I'm noticing a lot of people starting to go back to is the clove, rosemary, peppermint oil.
Yeah. And I guess that's
based stuff.
If I'm using a preventative, I guess if you call it a chemical, it's a rosemary extract.
Yeah.
It's extremely concentrated. So yeah, my bottle says I'm not supposed to be touching it or anything. But it dilutes down so hard that it's safe once it's in the water. So that's what I'm using is the SNS 219.
That's what I've been looking into. I've been thinking about searching to that as a preventative and like just when I bring some new stuff in, because I feel that's a little better than like throwing something like imidacloprid in there or something crazy like that.
I do still need to. I've been doing it as a water additive and I don't think it's as effective as I would want it to be. I haven't tried it as a spray yet.
Okay.
That's definitely on my list, especially for thrips. Because I still get thrips with it. Spider mites are real low, but thrips still happen. So I want to try spray version at some point.
I'm just going to take a moment just to say, like, if you're going for a pest-free collection, this probably is not the hobby for you. Because at a certain point, you got to become comfortable with the fact that there's going to be a low-level pest somewhere. It's just, are you maintaining or not maintaining, but like, knocking back the population and preventing damage and just doing what you can to keep them suppressed as naturally as you can. That's why we switched mostly to beneficials.
Beneficials slash just good old alcohol.
Yeah.
Big disclaimer real quick. Like these don't cross. You can't be doing pesticides and beneficials at the same time, friends.
No, it does not work that well.
You're just going to be washing your money down the drain.
Yep.
So as far as organic, we have, like I said, the SNS 219, 2009, whatever it is. Things like neem oil. I think some of the Captain Jack stuff is quote unquote organic.
That is.
It's spinosad, which is a naturally occurring whatever.
Made from fermenting bacteria off organic material. So like, yeah, it's a natural thing. It's just super concentrated. Note on Captain Jack's. If you look at the label, there is what's quote unquote inactive ingredients and it makes it something like 90% or more of the solution. The manufacturers do not, as far as I am currently aware of, tell us what those ingredients are. So there's no saying if the spinosad is the only thing and they're doing the job. And I do not for a second believe companies when they say this is safe.
Right. And I mean, I know we brought this up a couple times and so maybe we'll touch base on it when we get to like actual effectiveness of pesticides. But let's just go over your options first. If you are dead set on pesticides is what I'm going to be using to try and treat a problem, we'll touch all of those things first. So you have your Captain Jacks. You have Bonide. I know I see that one around a lot. I think I used it at some point.
That's the brand. They make a bunch of things.
Right.
So they have the systemic granules,
which work fantastic, but
are bad.
They are so bad. So when it comes to systemics, that's when you really need to start worrying about if I'm going to be putting stuff outside, how harmful is it to the actual environment? And systemic granules specifically can be or are very damaging to pollinators. So I guess before we dig too deep, there is a difference between the granules and like a spray. So a systemic spray that you would use within like a week, it's efficiency or it's gone from the plant essentially. So like if you spray a plant down, within a week or so, quote unquote, you could put it outside. Feel free to stop me if you don't agree.
I was going
to
say, isn't the systemic something the plant absorbs into its tissue so that when a plant or a bug chews on it, then it will get poisoned?
Yes, but the application changes the time frame on it. So if you're doing it foliarly, it's going to be absorbing straight into that new, it won't be in the new growth that comes out and like, yeah, it will be system wide, but because it's so like topical, it doesn't penetrate deep into the plant, I feel. So it doesn't last as long. So like usually the reapplication for that's usually like weekly to biweekly, depending on like what you're using. Whereas when you put it in the, use the granules in the soil, the plant has that constant uptake. So it would fade just as quickly as the foliar if the granules weren't constantly releasing more. And yeah, that's what they're doing.
It's a slow release.
Yeah.
So that's where the granules specifically can be very damaging slash lethal, because they are, you know, we're talking 8 weeks of it being effective in the soil. And then it's how long it actually takes the plant to get it out of its system after that.
I was actually reading, they looked into the granules. Mm-hmm. They last between 180 and 212 days.
Wow.
So that's something to keep in mind. So even though the bottle says 2 months,
yeah,
there's a good chance that it's still in there.
Like half a year. Like,
yeah. Over half a year later.
Minimum half a year.
Minimum half a year, yeah. Up to a year. Yeah, I made a bad mistake of putting stuff outside after I'd put granules in it my very first year. Again, I was ignorant. But now I know better. If I were to do it again, and I only did that in the most extreme mealybug cases, I probably just, stuff wouldn't go outside.
So full disclosure, I have more than half of my collection currently treated with a systemic granules, mm-hmm, because of my root mealy problem.
Right.
I did that back November, December, January. So yeah, technically I'm past the 2 month period, but I made the decision. I am putting it outside because they're at the very tail end of what they're should be effective.
Yeah.
And I've also made the decision that any flowers and inflorescences that come up are going to be stripped immediately.
Yeah.
Because that's where I feel a lot of the pollinator problems come into, because you got the poison pollen.
Right.
And I'm just not going to let it get that far.
Right.
What about the plant itself and the bugs that could interact with it?
At this point, they're at probably 190 to 200 days. So I'm not too concerned about it being super effective for anything like that at this point, because there are stuff that,
right,
I need to deal with, because it, I can see the systemic is no longer working in some of them because the mealies have popped back up and taken over.
Oh, sure.
So I'm kind of just reading the plants, and I made my decision based off of that because I figured the impact hopefully is a lot lower, but in order to do what I do, I have to be able to put stuff outside it, and then keeping it inside was not a viable option this summer without some losses.
Sure. That is, you brought up a really good point. Immunity, like, mm-hmm, with, so pesticides are only so great because pests tend to become immune to them, especially if you keep using them again and again and again and again. System, or what, when you're doing spider mites, back when you were doing spider mites, it was, you did, you, how many different types to try and avoid?
I think I had 5 on hand.
Yeah. And when you were doing a cycle, you would do a different one every time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because they, spider mites specifically, they will grow an immunity to.
So if you're spraying your plants down to kill spider mites with the same thing every time, you're not doing a good job.
You're just making stronger spider mites.
I was going to ask, you change it up every week, like, yeah, every treatment?
Yes.
What's your thought process behind that? Because I'm curious.
They build up immunity. And so I'm treating with 5 different things so they don't build up their immunity.
I know, but shouldn't you be able to treat a whole outbreak through the, like, three week, quote unquote, treatment, and then switch to a new one if they're still present? Or
no, because what if, you know, a week goes by, I use it again, and then now they have that same pesticide twice. And if they're going to build an immunity, I want to put as much variety in there as possible, mm-hmm, to minimize that. Because, like, let's say I would always treat for 4 weeks, mm-hmm, 4 times minimum. If they were still present and I still saw signs of spider mites, I would keep going. But, like, what if it's, you know, 2 months of treating? I'm not going to treat with the same thing 4 times and then be like, oh, they're not gone yet, and switch to a different thing. I'm going to effectively take care of it the first time around to maximize time spent and effort invested to make it as least of a burden as possible.
Sure.
That makes sense. The only reason I ask is because I always, knowing what I know and like having the experience I have with like greenhouses and stuff, we would always treat like 2 weeks at a time before switching up. But that was just because I'm pretty sure there were other reasons, but like your logic feels kind of good with that. I just wonder, are you using the pesticide to the full potential with that kind of schedule?
Oh.
Because they're not going to get immunity within 1 or 2 generations immediately. It's going to be a little further down, I feel.
I mean, what's it matter if I switch it up every week versus use the same product 2 weeks in a row and then switch to something else? Like, it is no effort on my part to use a different bottle each week.
And that's why I'm just asking, because like most of my experience with this stuff comes from like greenhouse work where we have to consider a cost. And I think that's something that we don't have to worry about in the hobby, I feel, because.
Well, like I would only, I had it down where I could know how much of a bottle I needed to mix up for how many plants I needed to treat. And I would only mix what I needed.
Okay.
And then if I had a little left over, I would like just douse it in the soil for like a little soil drench. Mm-hmm. And then I was towards the end of me getting good at this, I would have none left over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To move on to the next week. So let's say I was using Azomax. I'd mix up like 3/4 of a bottle of Azomax and spray all my foliage. And then by the time I'm done spraying it, I've run out of Azomax. If I have a little left, I dump it in the soil and then I don't have to deal with any waste. Because you can't dump that down the drain.
Yeah, you can't dump down the drain.
And then by the time, you know, next week rolls around, I switch to can control or insecticidal soap.
Right.
Okay, I just like to ask about people's schedules because I know a lot of people do things differently. And I was just wondering the thought process behind it.
I was very good at getting rid of spider mites completely in 4 weeks.
I was going to say, you are very effective at that. I didn't realize you were switching it up every week, though.
Oh, yeah. Impressive. We're not taking any chances.
I was going to say, our spider mite episode is going to be in depth.
Because spider mite. I have been using my beneficial insects, my Californicus sachets,
yes.
to great success in mitigating my spider mite outbreaks.
Yeah, maybe that's a good point because we had on there prevention versus treatment on pesticides. I don't think someone should ever want to just have a pesticide as a prevention.
No.
You shouldn't just be spraying, you know, dead bug brew every week.
Yeah, you see that a lot with newer people or people who are afraid of the bugs.
Yeah.
I mean, like bringing new plants in, rinse them off, get that just the mechanical action of just, like I said, manual removal with water.
Yeah.
And that's probably good enough to start with unless you start seeing problems or you've already noticed problems. And then if you're doing pesticides, that's when you would start to treat them.
Yeah.
But then again, beneficial is way to go.
Yeah.
For a while, I was preventatively treating for 4 weeks any new plants that came in anyway.
Sure.
There was a point in time where I was doing that too.
Yeah. And then at some point I switched to just quarantining it in its own room, monitoring it for 8 weeks, making sure nothing popped up. If nothing popped up, we're good.
Yeah.
If something pops up, boom, spray down.
If I have the space at quarantine, I'm horrible about quarantining plants. Sometimes
I'm really great at it because I know lucky the consequences.
They're lucky if they get their own shelf in a cabinet at this point.
Yeah, I have to limit my space that my plants take up. Otherwise, I would have way too many.
Yeah.
See, and for me, nothing is more important than ensuring I don't bring in new pests on a plant.
Yeah, that's
because,
fair.
It wasn't this past spring. I don't think it was the previous spring. I think it was spring before that. I had spider mites in one of my big windows, and then I had to treat more plants. And then more plants just to make sure I got everything because like my kitchen or it was my living room and my plant room, which also has my plant cabinet in it. And like, I just could not treat them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They needed to all be treated preventatively. And it was such a workout every single week to treat them. It was miserable.
Sure.
I went through so many bottles of things and I was like, this sucks. I don't ever want to do that again. And then beneficial bugs came into my life and I didn't have to.
Right.
Yep.
So, okay. And we've kind of been jumping around a lot. Say you get a pesticide, you can get like,
We got to go over all the other sprays.
Oh, sure. What other sprays?
You got insecticidal soap.
Yes.
You have.
Which is soap.
Yeah. It's some kind of soap.
So that one for sure, you got to be careful. If you spray it on your leaves and then the sun or light hit them, you can burn your leaves pretty hard.
Yeah. The leaves need to dry before you expose them to light again. We already talked about Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. I use Azomax. Mm-hmm. What is it? Azadithrosin?
Yeah.
Is the chemical. Active ingredient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's spinosad. That's, I'm trying to think. That's an insecticide. And then the miticide, like Avid and stuff like that. Those are the other things. Those are the ones that are going to kill spider mites.
Mm-hmm. Why did you say spinosad?
Because I'm thinking of Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, but sure. I hate saying that because it's a mouthful for me.
Okay. But there's no spinosad in Azomax.
No.
Correct.
And Azomax would be more of a mechanical
where it clogs the bug up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not technically like an insecticide.
Mm. They include a little pamphlet in each bottle showing you what it does to the bugs.
Well, fun.
Yeah, it's kind of macabre. But it's fun if you're into fucked up sort of things.
Yeah. So insecticidal soap. Neem.
I fuck neem.
Neem is less concentrated form of Azomax. Azomax is the active ingredient in it, right?
In neem?
Yeah, Azomax.
No, they're taken from like the same
plant.
Seed or something.
Yeah, it's just neem oil is the less refined one, so it doesn't have a high concentration of that active ingredient.
But you can get a neem. So there's a neem foliar spray, but then there's also like a very highly concentrated oil.
Yeah, and the oil is what's in Azomax.
Gotcha.
I don't touch neem.
And then again, if you do the really concentrated oil version of neem, watch putting your plants back out in the sun because you can burn them.
Yeah.
Another spray I use, Mammoth Can Control.
Yep.
What does that treat?
Spider mites.
Spider mites, so that's a miticide. Yeah.
So it's corn and thyme oil.
Oh.
It is an insecticide, miticide, and fungicide, and you can use it with your IPM.
Okay, so that's a horticultural oil.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's the word. Yep. Horticultural
Effective
oil.
Against powdery mildew, botrytis, mites, aphids, whiteflies, thrips, fungus gnats.
I'm impressed with that one.
Are we counting fungicides as
pesticides?
Quote unquote pesticide?
No.
Okay. I was going to bring up copper.
But, you know, bonus,
then.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's also why none of my white variegated stuff has any browning, because I've sprayed it down with that stuff so many times for bugs in its history that it's good to go.
Yeah. I finally got silica. I'm excited to start trying that.
I've been using silica too.
Have you done it twice? Okay. Never mind. What do you mean?
My elbow's already taller than my fridge.
It'll work.
It'll get there, but it's going to probably take at least 6 leaves is my thought.
Sure.
Let's see. What other things do I use for spraying? What is it? It's in insecticidal soap plus? No. What is it? There's another one. Insecticidal super soap. That's the one. Which just has, I forget what the extra thing in it is. But it's insecticidal soap plus something.
Gotcha.
Super soap. I'll look it up quick.
That's what I'm looking up. There's one that I'm going to be using it, but let me figure out what the name is, because it's a different one that you don't normally see that often.
Oh, it does have spinosad in it as the addition to take insecticidal soap to insecticidal super soap. So yeah, depending on which one they have in the store, I would pick up either, not opposed to them.
And what's that one for?
Mites and stuff.
Okay.
I found the one that I'm going to be using for rope mealies. Mm. I plan to do a drench with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's pyrethrins. They're derived from natural sources. I think fermented flowers.
Sure.
The perk with it is it works really well for rope mealies because it rips the cuticle off of them.
Nice.
And it has a really short life. So after you mix it up and use it, it doesn't even last like a week. So like it breaks down so fast.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to be switching over to that. And then whenever that's done and I'm comfortable where I'm at, I plan to go back to beneficials and just add Stradiolaleb so this doesn't happen again.
Sure, sure. Any other ones we want to bring up?
I mean, covered all the ones I use.
Okay. So for some of those though, so like Azomax, Mammoth Can, you get them as high concentrates and you dilute them into water.
Yeah.
So they don't last long. They have a shelf life.
Yeah. You're supposed to mix up a fresh batch every time you use it.
Yeah.
Have I always done that? No.
No, I haven't.
Is that how I do it now? Yes.
Did I learn that after I was using them for like 8 months? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I was like, oh, read the label.
I was going to say, honestly, I was not good at pesticides until I started working at the greenhouse like 4 years ago.
Sure.
So like most of my houseplant hobby, I was not doing things correctly.
So everybody read the label.
Yeah.
Yeah, read the label.
Front to back, yeah, back so to front.
The ones that you mix in. I mean, I don't even know if like Captain Jack's, does that have a shelf life if you buy a bottle?
I actually bought the concentrate of Captain Jack's because way cheaper than buying $8 bottles all the time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Pro tip, they're cheaper at Home Depot. Don't buy them in a greenhouse. Yeah. Sorry, greenhouses.
Or just wait for them to go on super sale on Amazon where they're like $3-4.
See, I don't give Jeff Bezos my money if I can help it. So yeah, I don't know that.
I stopped doing that.
I have a problem.
At least you can admit it. That's the first step.
Christine, I would have a problem too if I was in control of that subscription, but yeah. I'm not.
Oh, I'm in control of it. And also TikTok shop has started to take over my life.
Do they sell things on TikTok?
Yes.
Oh my God. Thank God I don't TikTok.
So yeah, they have a shelf life. Usually, I think they even say like a week.
Yeah.
It's basically you're supposed to use it 24
hours
time, and then please don't dump stuff down the drain.
No.
But essentially discard a bit.
Mix what you need. If you know you need to cover this many plants, I guess you could be on the safe side, mix half a bottle.
Yeah.
Always. Spray it out. If you need more, figure it out and then remember that for next time.
Yeah.
I spray the plants in the tub. Uh-huh. Yes, some stuff probably does go down the drain. I don't have an ability to like catch that because I don't have a fancy catching system. But if I do have leftover in the bottles, I didn't spray it all or whatever, I will save that in a leftover milk jug. Label it, keep it under the sink. When it gets full, put it in the basement. And currently it's in the back of my car because I'm going to take it to the waste place.
Yeah.
It's on my list of things to do. I have all of it in the car in addition to two cans of paint that were the colors of the house when we bought it because the house came with its own paint.
Yeah. And this is something everyone should really look at, Kaylin, for this because this is what you should be doing.
This is like the example.
I'm telling you, I read labels and it says don't throw it down the sink and definitely don't dump it outside. So in Dakota County, I'm lucky they have a recycle place where you can do these things. And so it was easy for me to know to save them to go there. But like I know some of you, if you look up where you dispose of these things, you might not be as lucky.
Yeah. Is it just like a chemical disposal or what is it? A waste treatment?
Yeah. It's just like waste disposal.
And is it free?
I believe so. I'll tell you once I go.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you once I go.
Yeah. We really, have to try and protect the water supply. Have to try and protect just the environment, period. So dumping these things just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Down the drain or outside.
The quantity that I have, I probably have 4 gallons in the back of my car right now.
Yeah.
In like 9 different containers. And I have them all labeled what they are.
Yeah.
So when they go to the facility, they'll be like, oh, this is Azomax, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, right.
So.
Cool.
That's what you're supposed to do. And that's what I've done because I'm a rule follower.
Right.
So I encourage you all to do the same. At the very least, don't mix too much. And then just use up what you got.
One thing I would like to say about this. I know with pesticides, there's that stigma of it being like a bad thing, a wrong thing. I don't feel that's necessarily true. I believe there is a time and place to be responsible and use these things responsible, like what Kaylin has done. Mm-hmm. So it's not really bad or wrong. It's just you got to be educated and you got to be smart about how you're doing things and make sure that you're doing what you can to minimize the impact.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, stuff happens and there are times where, yes, that is probably the best answer or the best route is to go with pesticides, insecticides or whatever. But as long as like we were saying, like if you're educated and if I do this route, I probably shouldn't put stuff outside so we don't hurt pollinators. Or if I do this, I need to make sure that I'm not, spraying it directly into my mouth because, I won't live.
Exactly.
It's not sour spray, kids.
Right. And I had another. Anyway. But yeah. It's just time and place. And I'm not going to judge anyone for doing it because.
Yeah, I just view all these things as just different tools. And in order to use a tool effectively, you should know how to use it properly.
Yeah, totally. But with that being said, efficiency.
I was going to say beneficial bugs are so much more efficient for me than pesticides. And that's my personal choice usually.
Yeah. So what there's how many studies happening right now that basically suggest that spraying down plants with water is just as effective, if not more effective, as pesticides.
I love that for my pocketbook.
Yeah.
That, and this is the time of year to really just take advantage of that.
And it's been raining so much here in Minnesota, like just shit. No, shit. Just put shit outside and let it get rained on and stuff's going to get knocked off just naturally.
I love nothing more than taking plants with bugs to the yard and hosing them down with my nozzle on flat and then moving them somewhere where those bugs can't find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just repeatedly doing that. Cause I used to make sure to treat my stuff for spider mites, I guess in the summer when it's warmer because their life cycle happens a little faster. You want to do it every 3 to 5 days, but like you stay on top of that, you hose them down every 3 to 5 days, mm-hmm. Within a couple, generations of this bug of them hatching and shit, you will get rid of them with the spray.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a huge difference. I have about half my collection outside for a week and I've been spraying them down and my mealy problem is like nearly gone between the spray downs and the hornets. Great.
I need to learn how to train some hornets.
Oh God, they did not recognize me this year. I had a bad day. I had a bad day, but now they like me now.
Oh boy.
Because you fed them.
Yeah.
I give mine water.
They just know that I just go out every morning and I spray everything with a hose. So it's like I water them every day.
Yeah.
Water my bugs.
So take all that with a grain of salt. You do you. But
yeah.
There's definitely some science happening because number one, pesticides companies don't actually have any studies behind them. Is that what it is?
All their studies are funded by the companies, so they're not, they're probably very biased.
So they can just throw whatever they want on their own label. There is no like regulation on.
I think the EPA has a very loose regulation. They leave like 99% of it up to the companies. And,
sure. And we can't trust them because they just want to make money.
Exactly.
They don't care if we get cancer and die.
Because we're going to get cancer and die from something else anyway.
I mean, yeah, from something else, if not that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I've mostly stopped. I actually can't think the last time I pulled something out. The last time I pulled something out was the copper fungicide, and that doesn't count. At least we're saying it doesn't count. So it's been just water spray downs, and if I need to, alcohol, and I've gotten on the Benibug train. Cucumers.
If you're really sick of it, just cut off all your foliage.
Yeah.
Take it down to the roots.
That was actually probably the last time I sprayed, is when I cut the tops off all my begonias, and then I sprayed the butts with insecticidal soap.
Yeah, because you got a bad spider mite.
Yeah, I found spider mites on all my begonias last year or whatever. Yeah. It's in episodes, guys. Go back and listen. Listen to my lament.
Also, fun fact, Kaylin, you weren't here when I saw it. Today, a year ago today, was when we released our first episode.
Oh, is this our anniversary?
Yeah.
How charming. Look at that.
We made it a year.
Congrats, Rough Around the Hedges. Yeah. Wow, we should have led with that, Christine.
You were just so ready to start talking pesticides.
Remember when I was like, okay, now we start the episode? Yeah. That would have been the perfect time to bring it up.
My bad.
Gosh darn it. We could redo that part. Hey, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not doing that.
Well, congrats, team.
Yeah.
Yay. Second year.
Anything else pesticide related? I mean, we've got a little time to fill, but we don't have to.
We stayed on topic too well.
Yeah.
Because we're passionate about this subject.
Yes. Wait till we talk about Benny Bugs.
Pesticides. We never mentioned just Dawn dish soap. Oh, it's not really a pesticide, but like it's for pest treatment.
I don't view it as part of the treatment. All it's there for is to get rid of the hydrophobia of everything and make things surfectant. That's what it is. It acts as a surfectant. So it's just aiding and mechanical. It's not actually treating anything, I feel. Sure. It just helps spread the poison.
When it's Dawn
dish
soap.
For Cusco?
Cusco for poison.
Ah, that poison. Yeah, I got you covered. Put a few drops in his drink, then I'll propose a toast, and it'll be dead before dessert. Which is a real shame, because it's going to be delicious. Boom, bam, baby, let's get to the grub. I am one hungry king of the world.
We'll just
you guys, I can do this whole movie. Why don't you stop
me? We're just letting you fill the time.
We got 15 minutes left. Kaylin can just quote The Emperor's New Groove.
I was going to say, keep going, Kaylin. I love this movie. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, are we all watching it in our head right now?
I was going to say, we're going to need a movie night.
That's what was happening, yeah.
Yes, perfect. See, I always text my sister on her birthday. What do I start with? Oh, it's pull the lever, crunk, and then she responds, and then that's what we do on our birthdays. And then one year, the first year I did it, she was like, that was the best birthday present I got this year.
Oh,
it's just me texting her. No. We did it all day long.
Nice.
I think she was in college, so like she had a bunch of time. And
sure.
At one point, I was like, oh no, I can't keep going. Well, I don't remember. It was like during the dinner scene. It's like kind of challenging to remember what order things are in.
Sure.
So I get out of order a lot. And I was like, I don't want to admit to her that I had to go look it up because that's cheating. And she will definitely frown upon me for that. But she'll also be mad if I don't get it right. So it's like, what do I do?
Right. Let's serve two evils.
Your attention to detail to the lines just reminds me of my little brother and Shrek, which is kind of the same thing with Shrek.
I also like Shrek.
Yeah. Shrek was another one I could probably, when I was a kid, definitely could do it from the beginning on.
I started, my Shrek origin story, besides, loving Shrek as a kid, Brandon had a friend who knew more of the Shrek quotes than I did.
Oh.
Like, he could do more of the movie than I could. And I was, like, embarrassed, so I made it a point to get better than him at it. And I watched Shrek, like, 3 times a week. Not at the moment, but, like, on a good week. We watched Shrek twice, if not more.
Wow.
We'll switch between 2 and 1. So, yeah, I know a lot of Shrek quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody talking about parfaits the other day, and I was like, parfaits are delicious. You ever met somebody say, hey, you want to go get parfaits? They say, hell no, I don't like parfaits. That's me. I don't actually like parfaits. Eddie Murphy was talking to me directly at that point in the movie.
There's a connection there.
What?
Between you and Eddie Murphy, you felt connected?
I think my favorite Eddie Murphy movie is Daddy Daycare.
Not Mulan?
I love Mulan, but like, I guess his face isn't in there. I don't associate like Mushu with Eddie Murphy.
But yet you associate Donkey with Eddie Murphy.
I was a big.
I don't know. I guess.
Oh, shoot.
But again, if I watch Shrek all the time and I'm not like, oh, Donkey, Eddie Murphy, I'm like, Daddy Daycare, Eddie Murphy. See?
Nutty Professor. That's the one I was always obsessed with as a kid.
I never watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I love me some daddy daycare.
Anyway, plants.
I got to see pothos on at Hawaii, and the leaves on there were had like not the ripped fenestrations, but like the actual fenestrations, and they were like three and a half feet long, and there were ones up at the tops of the trees that were even bigger.
Nice.
Bigger than a monstera leaf.
Yeah.
Were these the quote unquote Hawaiian pothos?
You mean the giant golden pothos from Hawaii?
Yeah.
Yes. I saw so many cool houseplants just growing wild.
Yeah.
I think we can just call them plants.
Yeah, right.
I know. I found a Mimosa pudica, and that was like,
yeah, you sent me a bloom picture.
Did not expect to find that one. So I was like pleased that I found it because Noah wanted to see it really bad.
Sure.
They're just weeds.
Yeah. We were touching all the things that looked like that plant, and that most of them weren't. And I like saw the flower that I was like, oh, touch that one. And it worked. It's like, yes.
Yeah, if I ever see a Mimosa pudica looking plant, I'm like, touch. Oh, hey, wasn't it? Not that I expected it to be. It's Minnesota, but like, you know, you gotta check to be sure.
That's why I was so excited when I touched it in Hawaii, and I was like, yes, it's wild and
it's a real one.
Like sensitive plants.
Yeah. Yeah,
there are some in Minnesota.
Are there?
There are. There are some,
but not like actual Mimosa pudica that people grow.
Maybe not. I just remember in my college dichotomy class, there was definitely one that we went out and found. That did the thing.
Did the thing, huh?
Were you touching me?
Cool.
Yeah. Do we want to do plant of the week?
You know, I was looking at my plants and I was like, I need to pick one out for plant of the week. And then you know what I didn't do?
Picked one out.
I didn't decide.
Oh.
I think I need to start my counter over.
I mean, it's been 1 year.
Ooh, is this free? Because, okay, but if I start this start over, I'm going to pay attention and make a list.
Just don't do ficus.
Actually, what I should do is I should get a plaque and then write each plant on the plaque.
Mm.
That way I have a list.
And I got one for mine. It's not an actual plant, but it's a pot of plants. Mm. I did up all my variegated Gasteria seedlings in one big pot so I can grow them together.
Gasterias? What are those?
They're like Haworthias and aloes.
They're the little flat ones that look like tongues.
They're the the ox tongue.
Succulent is one
of them. Ooh, shit. You know, if we're going to start over, I don't want to... I'm going to interrupt plant of the week to tell you that I think I successfully pollinated my Anthurium crystallinum.
Hell yeah.
Exciting.
Kara told me to rub the inflow with the pollen on the receptive inflow and instead of using like a paintbrush. And I did because I had two inflows on the same plant at the same time in different stages. And I went down and I looked at it during watering yesterday. I was like, holy shit, these are swollen. These are fat. These are little berries. Not yet, but like they're going to be.
Yeah.
So I think it's successful and I am so jazzed. But sorry. Oh my God, so many of them. It looks like there's going to be so many of them. So Mackie, you want to grow some seeds?
Yes.
I maybe wasn't paying attention. You did self-pollinated the crystallinum or what did
it
you?
It had two inflorescences. Okay. So I, yeah.
So it's just a regular old.
So it's going to be crystallinum cross crystallinum. So not a cross, just a.
It's a crystallinum.
It's a purebred crystallinum. Yeah.
It's an inbred crystallinum.
Gross.
It's a plant. They're able to do that without social repercussions.
Social? There's a lot more than just social repercussions there.
I mean, technically only if you produce a baby.
Anywho, so what's your plan of the week?
I am still thinking.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do my golden crocodile. My philodendron golden crocodile.
That's like a double up. You've done that one recently.
Not recently.
No, it's been like Halloween last time I did it.
Oh. We talked about it recently, but she didn't actually
I talked about it because I finally learned it took me a while, or actually it took Tom going, hey, remember when I gave you that golden crocodile that I realized that, yes, I have one instead of the Melanie gold because I had gotten rid of that one. Yeah. I'd like gotten rid of that one right at the same time as I got the golden crocodile. So my brain, they just became the same plant. But yeah, I threw that outside for summertime. And it's the most recently is probably
2 feet.
No, I wouldn't put it that far, but definitely 18, 12, 20 inches long. They're getting pretty cool. Do you still want that one? Maybe at some point?
Cool. Yeah,
I've definitely. Never have propagated that kind of philodendron before. I'm pretty sure it's just cut it, right?
And just like the ring of fire.
Yeah, they're closer together, so you'll probably fuck up some leaves in the process. Yeah. But just like decide where you're going to cut it and just go for it. And then whoever... lives and dies because it's like when I cut off my Prince of Orange.
Sure,
you just saw through it with a steak knife, and then whichever leaves you damage, just pull them off. Yeah, right. That's how you do it.
Just easy.
Yeah,
steak knife.
I think Ooh, my plant of the week. It's going to be my Diffenbachia.
Your Diffenbachia, the big green one?
Well, it's not big green anymore. It's small because I chopped it up.
Oh, okay. Did you just have just a trunk for a while, right?
I had two trunks. So back last summer, he was really tall, getting too tall. And I was like, this can't go on. So I took a top cut, rooted it, sold it, had the bottom cut, let that grow back, sold it. And then I kept the two trunk chunks, which they're probably 3 inches in diameter. Mm. Well, maybe 2.5 inches. But I chopped it in half. I had two of them. I stuck it in a pot, stuck it in some humidity, let it root, let it grow. It has taken until now to look good. Nice. But it's put out more than a couple leaves, and it's putting out like regular full-size leaves with great green color and like multiple growth points. But if my leaves finally look nice, finally looks like a real plant, and I'm so happy.
Cool.
It's so cute.
Nice.
That was one that was forced on me by my friend Natalie. She was like, come help me repot this. And I was like, okay, friend. And then she was like, you're taking one home. And I was like, no, thank you, friend. And she was like, yes. And I was like, okay.
Hey, peer pressure.
Yeah, so I took it home. So like, it was cool. It was like a 4 foot tall thing.
Yeah. It was taller. What's the tallest that's ever been? Like your ceiling.
It didn't get to the ceiling, but it was getting close to the light.
Yeah.
And I was like, because he was also like a little tippy and I had to like lean him into the corner so that he wouldn't fall over. And I was like, this is annoying.
Yeah.
So maybe 8 feet, maybe 7 feet. If I find a picture, I'll estimate it for you.
Sure.
He was in a room with an 11 foot ceiling.
Yeah.
10 foot. I don't know. 9 foot? Shit. I don't know.
Text Brandon and ask.
Right. Brandon will know these things.
Cool. Well, congratulations, plant of the week.
Yes, congratulations, all of our plants.
Oh, real quick, thank you, Cassandra, for your donation. She sent us a donation.
She did that while she was at my house.
Nice.
Because I reminded her she wanted the Jar of Possibilities sticker.
If I haven't sent you your stickers by the time this episode comes out, just remind me. I've been busy. I got to make sure I do that.
Mackie, I forgot your moss at home.
That's okay.
Oh, no.
It would have had to sit in the car all day today, and it would have been hot.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
It's not doing anything. It's just living.
It's kind of what they do.
That's sealed.
Sweet. So yeah, we'll chat with y'all later.
Okay, yeah, cool. Bye.
Stay rough.
Stay rough.
What a horrible ending.
We had a horrible beginning too. It fits. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.